Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. This is a pseudo emergency podcast. I tried to broadcast on Twitter, and it would appear I did not do particularly well in terms of the technology behind it. But here we are. So what we are going to do, I am just going to throw to the audio that I recorded. It's a quick one. I talk about the Montrezl Harrell edition and my idea or my theory for where their thinking is at on that front. I also am going to discuss the KCP situation, which I didn't think we would. I thought that was going to be a pretty open and shut case, but apparently it is not. And then, you know, from here, seeing how things go over the course of the weekend, it's like 2:30 Saturday right now as I'm recording this. So over the course of the weekend, if we ever get an outcome here to the, you know, some kind of conclusion here to the KCP situation, if we see who the Lakers are going to be replacing Dwight Howard with, if we see, you know, more, if we get a Bogdanovich trade, sign and trade, probably I'll probably come back on here and go live again. But you know, as of right now, it's pretty surprising, frankly, free agency period. So plenty of stuff to discuss, at least to this point. And then there's probably still going to be a whole bunch of stuff worth discussing from, you know, this afternoon moving forward on into tonight. And then, and you know, Anthony Davis is saying that he's not going to sign his contract till like Thanksgiving, which is Thursday. So we probably have a bit of a longer free agency period than we might have hoped heading into it. But, you know, that's 2020. Let's go ahead and throw to the audio, and then I'll talk to you guys whenever I talk to you. Where the Lakers stand right now, obviously have to start with them shocking the world and acquiring Montrezl Harrell. The reaction to that, from myself too, frankly, but the reaction to that was really funny because Clippers fans, I think Harrell was a fan favorite for a while there, and then he whined enough that they kind of soured on him a little bit. And the Lakers, you know, offered him the opportunity, it sounds like, to be the starting center. He can play alongside Davis. There'll be minutes where he won't be alongside Davis, and the Lakers will go probably really small and open up the floor so that he can serve as one of the elite rim runners and pick and roll finishers in the league. So that'll be another thing that they're doing. And, you know, he looked at Zubats, who frankly outplayed him somehow in the postseason, and saw the writing on the wall, kind of like Avery Bradley saw the writing on the wall where the Lakers won a championship without him. And Bradley is now in Miami, and Harrell is now back in LA, though with the Lakers instead of the Clippers. So I have a theory on this that I'm interested in your guys' thoughts as well. I think the Lakers, given how short their offseason is going to be, probably looked at this year and or last year really and said, all right, winning like that, obviously we know we can win with defense. We know we can work our butts off and really dominate in that regard. But I think what they recognize is that that's a really difficult way to play. You know, in order to build your identity and have your identity as a team on the defensive side and still be an elite team, you have to be absolutely smothering on defense. And given the way the rules are set up, given the kind of teams that the Lakers are going to be facing, it might be that they looked at the situation and said, playing like that and hoping to win like that is asking a lot, right? And so I think what they're saying is, if we have to put together a lineup where we just smother teams, then we'll try to have enough roster flexibility to where we do that. If on a more regular basis, we can outscore teams and just open up the floor and be better. And, you know, I think it takes less to be really good on offense than it takes to be on defense. And so the Lakers are basically saying, well, let's see if we can be an elite offense, and that makes LeBron's life easier, that makes Anthony Davis's life easier, and they can try to, you know, save their legs over the course of a regular season that is kicking off, what, a month? Maybe a month and a half after the Lakers won a championship. So I think that's, as of right now, I think that would be their explanation for adding Harrell instead of just trying to run some version of the roster back. The other thing that got in the way of them running some version of the roster back was Dwight Howard leaving, and seemed like there was a bit of a mix-up with the Lakers and Howard and his representatives, where Howard thought that they had a deal on the table. The Lakers apparently didn't have said deal on the table, and Howard is now in Philadelphia. And I kind of wonder if the Lakers were, you know, didn't want Howard to just tweet out there that he's going back to the Lakers because they were working to convince Harrell to sign. And I don't think he would have signed if he saw a center rotation of Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, kind of, and then also him. So I think, you know, it would have been ideal to have Howard because you can still have that identity that they had last year and that they had success with last year, but they don't. And he's now in Philly. Wish him the best. One of the weirdest stretches of my life where you find yourself rooting for Dwight Howard to be back. That was wild. But that is obviously where we're at. I do think there are some options. I don't think any of the options on the market are as good as Howard. I think you can look around and see, you know, if Willie Cauley-Stein is available for the minimum. I guess they're linked to Marc Gasol. I would be surprised, given the Gasol family, given how it ended with Powell, that I would wonder if the Gasol family want another Gasol kid back with the Lakers. But if that is somebody that the Lakers are looking at, I know he's a little washed, he's a little crispy, but he can also shoot, and that's something that Howard didn't bring. He's big enough to be able to body Nikola Jokic. He's smarter than Howard, so you make up for some of that stuff, you know, some of the dumb shit talking that Howard had on Jokic. Maybe that won't take place again if they add Gasol. But that's kind of after the fact, filling out the roster after you get all your key pieces. And the Lakers saw Montrezl Harrell as a key piece. Moving on to where they go from here, beyond, you know, just filling out the roster, all eyes are still on KCP. I am surprised by the situation here. What you're seeing is money dry up all around the league, and the offers that KCP might be getting are not the kind that are really blowing him away. But is that a good thing for the Lakers? Probably. But I probably think that KCP feels a little disrespected by the fact that we are still here and he hasn't been signed, and he's probably going to get a below market deal. So the choice for him is either going to will he go to the Knicks on a team that isn't going to compete? Or is he going to stick it out maybe for another year and hope next year, where more people have more money to throw around and the league is generating more revenue, that maybe he can get a longer-term deal then? It's too bad, given what he provided in the postseason, that's where we are. But at the end of the day, you got to make best with the situation in front of you. I think both the Lakers and KCP are looking at it that way. If you see me looking off this way, my second monitor is over here, and I am keeping an eye on any news that might be breaking. So I do think for where the Lakers stand, if they can't add KCP, they're kind of screwed. They don't have. They don't have very many options. Avery Bradley went to Miami. Rajon Rondo has already tweeted out that he is leaving the Lakers. So that would leave the Lakers with a guard rotation of Dennis Schroeder, Alex Caruso, Talen Horton-Tucker, Wesley Matthews, who's at more of a small forward at this stage of his career, and not much else. So, you know, if they add KCP, that fills out the rotation. It makes a lot more sense. The rotation makes a lot more sense. But they need to actually add Alex Caruso. Another rumor that is kind of floating around on the KCP front is that they might include him, Kuz, and maybe JaVale to send up to Sacramento in a sign-and-trade for Bogdan Bogdanović. I would be surprised if that's actually the route that they go. I would be surprised if that's what it took. I don't think you would have to add Kuzma to that to get that sign-and-trade done. If Sacramento wants to pay KCP a lot of money, or if you could do a three-team deal where KCP gets paid, goes to Atlanta, and gets a nice sum of money there. Bogdanović goes to the Lakers, and then KCP, or I guess Atlanta would send some future asset out to Sacramento. Maybe something like that could work. But even there, it would be a further departure from this identity that the Lakers have built. So that's probably going to do it to this point. I'm going to keep these relatively short just because it's, you know, a long weekend and there's a lot of work still to be done for the Lakers. I will be back for your regular show at the very least Sunday. I'll be recording a mailbag episode and a free agency recap. I also have planned a fun guest to talk about Montrezl Harrell. So you guys are going to want to tune in for that next week. But we'll see where the Lakers find themselves. There's a lot of work. There's a lot more work, frankly, that needs to be done now than I thought we were going to need at this stage of free agency. But that's where the Lakers find themselves. That's where we all find ourselves. That's going to do it for this kind of emergency podcast or slash Periscope or whatever we're calling it. And then we'll go ahead and come back here if anything crazier happens over the course of the week. Have a great rest of your day.